that your voice would be heard, that that voice and the soft sound of sandaled feet would be the only things that we'd hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this is called, I don't know if I even gave this to Danny or not, but it's called The Fight for the Father's Business. It's partly wisdom, partly discernment, but all about Jesus. And so I hope you guys get something out of this. I want to start with Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Do I need to hold this closer or further away? I keep it hearing it go up and down. Here? Here? Right there? All right. So the verses I gave are out of the Geneva Bible. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but there's some interesting differences in this. Starting in verse 40, I'm going to start in 47. You've got 48 up there, and that's fine. That's what I gave you. So this is, when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And 48 says, and he saw them troubled in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. A contrary means a fact or a condition that's incompatible with another. So for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. And so there's something to think about this. The fourth watch of the night, it was dark. I was up at 4:30 this morning. That's for you, Rick. Rick thinks I sleep until noon every day. It turns out I don't. But it was dark when this was going on. And it says here that he saw them troubled and rowing. So he's got a vision for what is in our heart. He's got a vision for what we're going through. He came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. And I want you to notice here that Jesus was walking along. Note that he went out to them. They were on the same path, arguably even the right path, but he would have passed them on by, could have passed them on by. But he was going to leave them to do as they pleased. But, as we just read about, they cried out to him. And Mark 6:51 says, then he got in the boat with them. He's more than willing to let us go on our own and do what we want. Sometimes we've got to cry out to him and invite him into our boat. So in 6:52, it says, for they had not considered the matter of the loaves. So here they are, they're in this turmoil, they're in this storm. And verse 52 goes on to say that they had not considered the matter of the loaves because their hearts were hardened. So they hadn't even thought about this. Here, I guess the question comes down to, do we ever have times when we're faced with a challenge that God is not the first place we look to for a solution? I think we can all say yes on that at some point in time. So moving on to Mark 8:32 and 33, it shows that Peter is willing to fight. And this is part of the fight for the Father's business. Many times we're willing to fight, but we still need to be about the Father's business. It's worth noting here later on in this episode that we read about. I'm going to read that, possibly. Mark 8:32 says, he plainly spoke about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. So again, we come back to need to be about the Father's business. Sometimes it's not the time to fight. Sometimes it's best to see what's going on first and then make your decision on when you'll fight, how you'll fight later on. So the next part here is about wisdom. As followers of Christ and as men and as fathers, we're going to go to Proverbs 1, verse 7. And here it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs 1, 20 through 21 says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. So in public, we get tested. Our mettle is revealed to others and even to ourselves. And it's a condition of the heart. These are things we need to be aware of, especially when in public. We can oftentimes embarrass ourselves when we're in public. We might do something that we do just out of a reaction, and then we realize that, oh, somebody was watching me do that. Anybody ever done that? I have. Proverbs 2:12 goes on to talk about wicked men. It says, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. And the question that comes along with that is, have you ever been in a group, in a conversation, or whatever the case may be, knowing that maybe the conversation is not wholesome, and wanting to know if maybe maybe this isn't a good investment of your time while you're having that conversation? Proverbs 2:16 goes on to talk about adulterous women. It says here, wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. I have a question on that, I guess. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you walk away from the conversation? I'm talking to guys here specifically, women too possibly, but you ever walk away from a conversation and wonder if that conversation would have been the same had your wife been right there with you? Just a question. Proverbs 4:7 is pretty basic. Get wisdom. Says the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. When I looked that up, it seems simple enough, but to get wisdom is also to gain possession of. You got to grab a hold of it. It's mine. Wisdom is something we have to seek after. We have to chase after it. It's easy to be in the world. It's easy to be of the world. It's easy to flip on the television or, you know, listen to the things they're telling you on the television or whatever the case is. But it's important to go after that wisdom. And so what is the result? Result is in Proverbs 4:12. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. So there's the result. I see my timer up there, I guess, so I'll skip part of that. I was going to talk about accountability partners. Some people are talking about accountability partners. That's fine, but one thing I want to say is you need to be trusted to be alone with God by yourself. That comes from being in the Word and from alone time with God. You got to trust Him and who He is in us. I'm not saying to not have a mentor. A mentor, by definition, is a trusted counselor or guide. I always say a mentor is somebody that is in their life where you want to be in your life. Get somebody like that if you don't have one. So the last thing I want to talk about here real quick is discernment. We're going to talk about that in Galatians 2:20. Says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. From wisdom, we start to allow God to have access into our inner man and our hearts, where he tugs on us to center us in the right direction. The result, our faith begins to increase. And in this is about discernment, by the way. Hebrews 11:1. Goes on to talk about faith. It's on page 1101 if your Bible's like mine. It says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. That's in this version. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen is the version I usually go to. I think I gave Daniel NIV version, except for a couple. So if yours are a little bit different than the one I'm reading, please forgive me. I don't really do this every day. So another version, this might be from the Geneva Bible, says, now faith is the ground of things which are hoped for and the evidence of things which are not seen. So the grounds, the basis for belief, the action or argument. Then we start to walk it out on our own. So the takeaway from this, I just want to recap real quick. I think I'm far out of time. So the fight has to be in us. The takeaway is we seek the Father. We trust in Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. So the point number one is the fight has to be in us. We talked about that in Mark 8, 32 and 33. Second point is it's on us to get understanding. We learned about that in Proverbs 4, 7. Number three is it's on us to get the wisdom and discernment. We talked about that in Galatians 2:20. And number four is it's on us to grow our faith. Talked about that in Hebrews 11:1. So the question I have is, has God ever urged you directly to seek wisdom? Has God ever visibly showed up to give you the discernment? Hopefully you took advantage of that. It's on us to praise God in and through all of this as we gain that discernment and that wisdom. If you can put that picture up, Danny. Are we willing to be outdone by a rock is my question. And in Psalm 150, I want to read that really quick. Well, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And Luke 19:40 from the Geneva Bible says, but he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would cry out. I brought that picture up because, I know they're not necessarily praising the Lord, but it's just something to think about that's a picture of us not praising the Lord. If you think about that, they're animals. They don't know any better. But if we don't give God praise, the rocks will. It says so in the Bible. So I don't know who's up next here. Corey.
Hey, I'm Corey. But he asked me to speak. I was going to tell her. I think I told her no, or I just got saved last week or something like that. So just going to pray and then dive into what God wants you guys to hear. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this opportunity. We just praise you, Lord, for all the fathers that are here, Lord Jesus. The ones that seek your face, the ones that ask you to cover them, cover their families each day. We just thank you, Lord, Father God, that your presence is here. It's always been here, and we just praise you right now, Lord, Father God. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise, Lord, Father God, and we just thank you for these words that you have given me, Lord, Father God, that they will hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians 3, 7 through 11, if you want to turn there. Philippians 3, 7 through 11, it says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. Now, verse 10, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So measuring the heart of a man should be measured and admired by a heart for God. Measuring the heart of a man should only be measured by their heart for God. What we do behind closed doors, what we do with God, God will bring that to the forefront. If you seek his face, if you cover yourself in his blood each and every day, the heart of God that's upon you, people will recognize that. People will start asking questions and counting all things as worthless because we have found our worth through knowing Jesus. That's what it says there. I like how it says that. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. There's value in spending time with God. Sometimes you'll spend time with him and not know where to go, not knowing what scripture to read or how to start your prayer. But every time that you have with God in church, at home, through worship is all valuable to Jesus. And as you spend time with God, as we spend time with the Father, he will show us as men how to father our families, how to govern our household. That's the most important thing, is that we can see how the world sees fathers and how they judge fathers. But when the heart of God is on the inside of you and his presence is inside of you, he will speak through you. He will use you. He will use different times to speak life into your own family. Because I don't pastor a church, but the church is my family that lives with me each and every day. That is my opportunity to speak life into my daughter, speak life into my wife, and allow the presence of God to just cover my home. And as we live in right standing with God, allowing the judgment and the conviction of our lives to be seen through Jesus' eyes, he will then begin to enlarge the territory of our faith. Because you can't really serve God without having faith that he's there, believing that he's with you. You can't seek him, but you always have the evidence of his presence. You always have the evidence of his glory and his love and his undying love for you. Because the biggest thing that men want is respect. If we don't get that respect from someone, we'll go find it somewhere else. But as a kingdom mindset at man, your respect, you'll find your respect and your worth in God. Where you don't have to go look other ways to find that love and find that respect and find that joy and find that happiness that you long for so much. Because people look at us as we're supposed to be strong all the time, but that's always not the case. There's times where we don't feel strong, there's times where we don't feel like God's hearing us, but as we continue and continue to press on, you'll see the results. As you continue to love God and pray and allow his presence to cover you, then you will see the evidence of God working in your life. And because of faith in Jesus, we find our worth, we find our respect, and we find out how much God values a kingdom-minded man. There's nothing more valuable than a kingdom-minded man, because of your mindset and you have peace of mind in knowing that God's going to cover you and God's going to bless you and God's always going to be there. Everything else in this world seems very worthless to you because you know where your treasure is. You know where your love is found. You know where your worth is at. So us as men, as we spend time with God and as we allow God to cover our lives, there's no way we'll be able to lead our family and love our family and guide and lead our family if we're not led and guided by God. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience the peace which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And more than anything is having peace of mind. If you don't have peace of mind, there's so many things in the world that you can see to take your mindset off God, to take your heart away from God. But the, having the peace of God, having the mindset of peace, allowing God to cover your mindset, because if you have trouble up here, it's just going to follow you through everything else that we face in life. Everything else is going to look better than what God can offer you, because your mind is not set on God. So us as men, our peace of mind is more important than anything else, because if you don't have peace, the devil can just run rampant through your home. Because then if you don't have peace of mind and knowing that God's there and knowing that he's going to cover you and having faith in God, and the devil sees the open door to attack your family from behind. And sometimes we don't see it until everything just falls apart, and then we're trying to figure out what happened. Why are they this way? What happened? But when the door is not guarded by the presence of God, yes, Satan will have an open door to fall right into your family's life and destroy everything that you've worked hard for. So let us keep God at the forefront. Let our peace of mind be on God each and every day as much as we can. Sometimes we work in places where God's not the forefront of that particular business. I work with mechanics all day and tell you it's not the forefront of their lives at all whatsoever. So, but for me at work, I do thank God that they see me. They know what I stand for. They know who I am. So let's just allow the measure of a heart. Measuring the heart of a man should be measured and admired by their heart for God. So let's continue to chase after God. And as we do that, he will lead us as we lead our family. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is John, and I was blessed by Betty to be one of the forefathers that got to come up and speak about Father's Day. And I would like to start with a prayer. I'd like to start with the Lord's Prayer, because he is their ultimate father. So if you would all recite that with me, I'd appreciate it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I think you should pray that often. That prayer covers everything that you're going to need. It has every tool that you're going to need to be a believer and to be a good father. It brings me to the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Vicki and I watched the movie the other day, and it depicted that story, and it was in a way that I had never seen before. And God came to Abraham and told Abraham that he needed to sacrifice Isaac. So he told him where he wanted that to be, and he told him that it was a 3-day journey by foot to do that. So being faithful as Abraham was, they made that journey. And when they got there, he took Isaac up, and they built the stone and stick altar for him, for the sacrifice. But it was at that moment that he told Isaac that it was him that he was going to sacrifice. And I don't know about you, but that got me right in the heart, because I can't imagine what Abraham went through in those 3 days. That was long 3 days of a walk, to have to contemplate what the Lord had asked him to do. So so he lays Isaac on the altar, and he has the knife drawn, and that's when the Lord came down and said, no, stop. And now I can imagine the jubilation that went through their hearts for both of them. and in mine. So I need you to go to Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Everybody ready? Okay. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land in which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord for your God to keep all your statutes, his commandments which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, and it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers and has promised you the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, and with your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. We're to be the protectors of our families. We're to step up and do and be the example that our children need to follow. The children will need counsel. They're going to need discipline. And all that is done when needed. And when you comfort them in good and bad times, we instill the principalities to them to form a firm foundation with God. I'd like you to go to Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wicked in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The devil doesn't want the man to lead. If he can get in between you and your family and get you off tilt and go somewhere else, then he's won. So I challenge all men that are here today, all men that couldn't be here today, all the men that are watching on Facebook, I challenge you to step up and take your place. There's power in the man leading the family. So we need to do so. And we need to do so with authority, with boldness, and walk in truth. Your children are smart, so much smarter now than they've ever been. And they are like sponges. And they listen to what you say. They hear what others say. And unfortunately, sometimes they do that. But if you're speaking all the right words to them, then they're going to do well. And they're going to follow God just as you have it planned out for them. It's our responsibility to be good examples for our children. So someday they can lead their families. Kids do watch us and will absorb all that we say and do. I'd like you to go to Ephesians 6:4, please. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, take pride in your kids. I know I do. I have two sons, Danny and Sonny, and I have a beautiful daughter named Brett. I do whatever it takes to try to be a part of their lives. I want to also be a part of my grandkids' lives because I cherish them as well. I have my wife and I have been blessed to have 6 grandchildren. And, my daughter hasn't met that significant one yet, but when she does, we're hoping to have even more grandkids. It's important to us to press in to our kids, to press in to our grandkids, to press into anybody in our family that's not following God right now because they need to be saved. And we are praying for that daily, for our families to come to salvation. I want to see the ones that have already passed. I want to be able to see my other family members whenever they pass. And it's important that we pray for this because I want to see them, and I know you do too. I'm going to do a little short story about my dad. He was an only child, and he didn't like that. So when he met my mom, he wanted to have a big family. So that's what they did. We had 8 kids. There were 6 boys and 2 girls. And we went to church and stuff, but we were Methodists, and it's nothing like what we do here. when I first started going to church with Vicky, it was different, but I liked it. I liked the different because we sat in a chair with our hands in our lap. We sang a couple hymns. We heard the sermon, sang a couple more hymns, and that was our day at church. And here, I feel the Spirit, a voice, felt the Spirit here. And I believe that's drummed up by the praise and worship, the praying foundation that has been established here at this church. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you because you are the sons and daughters of God. And he loves you, and he is going to pour into you for your diligence. So I encourage you to teach and to love and to express your love to your kids and to your grandkids and to your family, and let them know that you're always going to be there for them, no matter what. Because I don't care what anybody says, kids are going to make mistakes. We make mistakes. So we can't expect our kids not to make mistakes. So we have to be able to forgive. And if you can learn how to forgive, you're going to be a great believer. So, Lord, I just ask that this message blesses somebody. It has definitely blessed me and my family. And I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done in our lives. And I just look forward to hearing the witness of what it's going to do in our family's lives and in our own family's lives. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for the sacrifice that you gave us so we could live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, Gathering Place. My name is Rick, and my wonderful wife, Dawn, and we've got four children and 11 grandchildren. I'd like to wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day today, and so glad you're here. I want to start out by being completely transparent with you and telling you how this all played out. 2 months ago, Gabe and McKenna's wedding, Pastor Betty comes up to me and says, hey, would you be a father that would speak on Father's Day? And I hesitated not at all. I just said, absolutely, yes, I'll do it. And how many of you know how Satan works? Okay. That week I wasn't under attack. In midweek, Satan was telling me, You can't do this. You can't do this. Who's going to take any stock out of anything you have to say? Because you got a son that's in prison. And so I decided next Sunday I was going to come and tell Pastor Betty I can't do it. And then I prayed about it. And the Lord came back to me and he said, would you really do that to me? And I said, what, Lord? He said, would you really do that to me? He said, think about the millions and millions of sons and daughters I have that are in prison in every country in this world. And you're going to tell me you won't get up and speak for me just because you've got a son in prison? So right away I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. And I never came back to Pastor Betty. I just went on with it. And I said, you're going to have to help me with this, Lord. I need something to say. And he says, okay, I'll help you with it. He said, how much time we got? I said, like 10, 15 minutes. And he's like, wow. He said, you don't need help. You need a miracle, but we're going to do this. So what the Lord gave me is Luke 15, and it's a parable, and you're going to know it. Luke 15, 11 through 32. And I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase and go through it fast. And I'm an auctioneer, so I can talk fast, but you guys just got to keep up fast. So what we're talking about is the prodigal son. And for those of you that might not know about it, there was two sons and a very rich father. And he had a very large estate and raising cattle and goats and everything you could think about. And one son decided he wasn't... I needed to pray over this, Pastor Betty. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Father, right now, we're going to delve into your word. And Father, I just ask you, you be with every person listening, that you use it for your full ability in their hearts so they can absorb this, what we were about to say. In your holy name, amen. Okay, what I'm going to say is the two sons, one decided he was going to be a hard worker and help the dad. And the other decided, well, let's just say he decided he was going to be a rascal, okay? And he asked his father, he said, you're rich. He said, I want my half of the inheritance because I want to do what I want to do. So his father willingly gave him, he split up what he had. He gave his son half his inheritance. This son went to another country far away, and he was just blowing his money on wine, women, fast horses, whatever, just blowing through his money. And what happened was, there's a season for everything. There's a season for this sin. What happened was, famine came upon this country. Famine came upon the land. He ran out of money, and he had nothing. So, didn't even have anything to eat. He goes to work for a large hog farmer in this country. And he's feeding his hogs, and he's taking care of his hogs. And the only thing he had to eat was the corn that he went out and husked with these hogs. He sat in with the hogs and ate. He had nothing. And a light came on one day, and he says, well, Father, my dad's servants have more to eat than I do. What am I doing here feeding these hogs for this guy? So tail between his legs, he started to walk home. And he went home. Well, his father was getting elderly, hadn't seen him in years. And when it says when he was walking down the lane, the father saw his son coming, and he ran. And the servants and the hired hands wondered, what the world is going on with this crazy old man? He ran to his son, and he hugged his neck. And he said, Father, I'm not worthy. And he said, no, you're my son, and you are back. You're my son, and you've returned. Well, he told the servants to kill the fatted calf, bring a robe, bring him a ring, bring a robe, kill the fatted calf. And he put this on his son. Well, how many of you know there's always something? There's always something. They start this big party, and they're celebrating. The other son, the one that always stayed there with the dad and was a hard worker, he's coming in from the fields, and he hears the music, and he hears the dancing, and he's like, says to one of the other hired hands, he says, what's going on? And they said, your brother has returned, and your dad is celebrating. Well, right away, the good son, the hardworking son, went to mad, and he did not participate. He probably went back to the field or whatever he did. Well, later on during the celebration, the father finds out, where is my son? And they said, well, he's still in the field. So he goes to look for the good son. And he gets to him, and he's angry. And he says, "Why?" The brother is angry. And he says, why would you celebrate? Why would you kill the fatted calf? Why would you give him a ring and a robe when he has been took our money and ran with prostitutes in another country? Why? And it says that right in the Bible. And why would you do this? Why would you? And he said, listen, son, listen. Everything I have is yours. He already gave the other brother his half when he took off. Everything I have is yours. And he says, but your brother, we thought may have been dead, he has returned. Now there's a story in this, guys, because don't you ever get mad at that dad that stayed there and continued to pray and hope that he would see his son again someday, because he thought he might have been dead. He thought he might have been gone. And then I'm wondering to the Lord, I'm thinking, well, why are you giving me this message for them on Father's Day? And the Lord very clearly came back to me, and he says, what did I tell you originally about my sons and my daughters? 9 out of 10 don't even acknowledge me. 9 out of 10 won't come to my house to worship me on Father's Day or any other day. They don't even acknowledge that I'm alive. And you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't know him like we need to know him. They don't have that personal relationship with their father. I mean, I'm blessed today. My dad is 85 12 days ago, and I've got my father here for Father's Day, and I am so blessed. But if you really get to the story, when he says, back to the story, he says, you have never as much as gave a young goat to me to have Mary and have a party with my friends, and you kill the fatted calf for the son that's been gone for years. I think about my boys. I've got one in prison today. I've got one that's a preacher in Columbus, and I've got one that's a hard worker and a family man. And I think of them, and they might say the same thing to me. And, you know, if them other two want to say that, I've got goats at the house, they can come on over and pick up goats anytime. I mean, I'll give them one if they want to have a party. But just saying, I mean, think about this. If you ever stop praying, I pray for my son every day. I pray for him that the Lord will get in his heart and change it and change his heart. And you know what I'm saying? We got to keep praying that way. TGP, I mean, we're in a battlefield right now. And we need to keep prayed up, keep our families in prayer. And I mean, it's just, it's beyond imagination right now what's going on. We just need to keep prayer. There's so many things going on with ministers in the country. I mean, and the Lord gave me, I told Pastor Betty this morning, the Lord gave me a message. While I've been working on this, the Lord gave me a message, and he said, this is a full message. And I said, well, I'm going to have to talk to Pastor Betty about that. He said, don't worry about it. We'll get it handled. So that's where we're at, and he gave me a message, and I'm, but right now I want to tell you something. The Lord's laid on my heart that we need to keep. I mean, we all know losing our pastor has been tough, and it's been tough on our attendance, on everything else. But we need to keep prayed up as a body. We need to keep praying for this church daily. We need to pray for Pastor Betty. We need to pray for every elder. We need to pray for the board. We need to pray for this church. But I know we need to keep praying, because he's there. We just need to keep praying. I want to tell you guys a quick story that happened this week. I was I had the opportunity to haul cattle with my grandson, for 8-year-old grandson Titus, for like 3 days. And we had started with a load of cattle from Bucyrus. We were heading for Mount Hope, and we just got a few miles out of town, and my grandson said, hey, Grandpa, I want you to know, when in a few years I'm going to be the quarterback for Colonel Crawford, and then I'm going to go from there to be the quarterback for Ohio State, and then after that I'm either going to go to the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, or the Cleveland Browns. And I thought, whoo, man, he's got dreams. I thought, and he says, right after that, I'm going to get a mansion. And I said, wow, Titus, that sounds extraordinary. I said, you think all that'll happen? He said, oh, yeah, I think it will. I said, okay, that sounds good. It's good to have dreams when you're 8. And I was thinking of the opportunities, and I says, well, Titus, do you know something? I says, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare one for you, and you, and you. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And he said, does that mean he's making one for me? I said, he's already got one made for you. You just have to live for the Lord and be ready to accept it. And his little mind is working, and we're on the other side of Mansfield. We're probably 30 minutes, 30 miles up the road. And he says, hey, Grandpa, do you think Grandma Honey, that's my mom, do you think Grandma Honey got a mansion? Because we're 12 days away, I think, from her one-year anniversary of her passing. And I said, absolutely, Titus, I think she's got her mansion. And he just said, wow, I wonder what it looks like. And I said, well, I know one thing. I'm going to make sure I get there to see it, because I think she'll be waiting at the gate to show me her mansion. And he's like, wow, I want to see it too. He said, what do you think it's like? And I said, I think it's beyond anything we can imagine, Titus. So little chances to spread seeds. And you know what I mean? And those tiny minds absorb it. So we need to think about this stuff, guys. And I know I need to start to land this plane. I know that. We're right where we need to be, Pastor Betty. 11:44. She said by 11:45 I need to be ready to kind of bring this thing down. I hope you've been with me, and I hope I haven't bored you. But, you know, I've thought about it and thought about it, what the Lord said about his children and about how many don't acknowledge him. And it's sad. It's sad. I feel bad for him that I even brought that up now, because that he had to turn around and say that to me. This morning I was sitting right behind where Pastor Betty is, and I came in early because I was going to practice my song, and the Lord was speaking to me, and Minister Blaine was sitting here, and he came over and he said, hey, can I pray for you? You going to speak today? I said, yeah. He said, can I pray for you? And I said, absolutely. So Minister Blaine prayed for me, and the minute he got up, and he had his little boy with him, and walked out, and they were still up here praising and worshiping, the minute he got up and walked out, the Lord says, son, do you love me? And an audible voice to me, I don't think these guys heard it, but an audible, and I said, you know I love you, Lord. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. And that was powerful. I mean, it was powerful. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning, guys. I'm trying to feed the sheep. Because, you know, it's important. We need to keep in the Bible, and we need to keep fed. It's just, it's important. I did ask him if I could do the closing. You know, at TGP, our altar's always open. Anybody wants anybody to pray, we've got ministers here that'll pray with you. Anybody, our altar is always open in this church. I thank you for giving me the time to speak on Father's Day. And I guess Danny's going to get me ready to go.